today we're talking to Jerry because not only is he a local broadcast legend, that's a title bestowed upon him by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, congratulations, but also because you have covered or volunteered at every Oshkosh fly-in.
Every, all 50 of them, yep.
So what brought you to the gates of Whitman Regional Airport in 1970?
There was a guy that lives over there on the corner of 36, or 18, I'm sorry. A guy by the name of, I think it was Steve Whitman or something like that. And he called me in 1970 and he says, Jerry, he says, you might want to come out to our event that we're going to have. It's EAA. And I went, what's that? And he told me and I went, oh, it must be a bunch of model airplane collectors or some dumb thing. So I came out here and first day of the air show that year, and I wasn't called an air show then, I met this guy named Paul Poberesny. And from there I was hooked because I told Paul that I had lost my uncle in the Second World War. He was a pilot on a B-24. And the more we talked, the more he became interested, and he was just so genuinely decent about everything. And then I met Audrey, and I knew Dorothy and Steve from many years back. And I came out here in the first year. It was I don't think we had 500 planes. I didn't count them, mm-hmm. but it was much smaller than we've got today. And it was just an interesting bunch of people. I remember Carl Unger with the Breezy.
Right.
I met Carl, and what a nice man. What he did for this organization. People like him, you just went, this is a pretty cool bunch of people out here, and I've been out here ever since. And so when I was hired at Channel 2, I just said, we've got to cover this event front to back. And I was kind of looked at with eyes crossed, saying, you're crazy. And we came back with a couple of stories that just blew them away because the people we dealt with were just so darn cooperative.
Right.
And I always say there's a million stories out here, and I only got to cover maybe 1,000.
Through the years. Now, you started in radio.
Right.
Right, and then moved to TV. And after you retired from TV, you loved this event so much you came back and volunteered.
Well, my first year out here, when I retired in 07, I came out here the first year, and Zani Fritschi and Edsel Ford were in charge of the West Ramp, or Boeing Plaza, what it's called today. And Edsel says, come on, you can help us out, volunteer. So I'm out here volunteering on the ramp, and this F-16 lands, and Edsel hands me the sticks. He says, bring her in. So I went, you got to be kidding. He says, no, you've seen what we do. You're ex-Air Force. You know what to do. I went, yeah, but I wasn't in planes. I was in missiles. I says, you don't direct a missile. So anyway, he says, bring it in. I brought it in. We got her out. And as the pilot's crawling out of the cockpit, Edsel yells up at the pilot. He says, you had a virgin bring you in just now. And everybody had a darn good laugh over that, including me. So, and then after that year, Tom Poberesny called me, and he says, we're wasting your talents. Let's do something different. And so we started what's called Plane Talk, and we do those on Boeing Plaza every day from 9 in the morning until about 1, and we feature the pilots and the planes, and they have become very popular over the years, so that's how everything works with me. So.
Good. Who's on your schedule this year to talk with?
Well, as soon as we're done here, you're talking with Colonel McGee, right. Tuskegee Airman, one of the most wonderful people in the whole world.
Yes.
And then we're going to do with the B-29 doc. I want to talk with Josh and Frank. Tony Mazzanelli is not back this year. The thing I want to talk about, Steve, is this is like a family reunion. You've been out here enough. You know. You get to talk with these people. I've been renewing acquaintances today with Gene Conrad, other people who are in charge of the show, and so on and so forth. And it's fun to reacquaint everybody, and I really enjoy the people out here.
It is amazing that there are people in both of our sphere of influence who you will talk to during the show, and you probably won't interact with them for the next 51 weeks, and you'll see them and the weekend before, and you'll pick up a conversation like you just talked to them the day before.
It was like yesterday, right. One other thing I was going to tell you about, I was thinking about this at home this morning. When the convention first moved here, I asked Paul one day, I says, what time's the air show? We don't do air shows. We do flybys. And it really was not called an air show until about 76, 77. Paul finally relinquished the title. He says, yeah, we'll call them an air show. What the heck? And that first year, I think our first or second year we were doing it, they did call it an air show. Jim Lacey was a pilot with United back then. He was flying a Caravelle. He came in and he strafed the field. This United jet, I don't think, was more than 6-10 feet off the ground. Unfortunately for Jim, there were a couple of United mucky mucks here. But Jim was one of the, he's still one of the greatest people. So. Yeah.
We're talking with Jerry Burke, who has covered this event and volunteered for all 50 of the Oshkosh conventions, and also a family tie with Christopher, your son, and Concord, 1985. That was a
he was 2 years old when she came here the first time. And I don't know if you remember anything when you were two. I don't. But he remembered that plane so well. So when she came in 88, Captain Cook brought her back again that year. And when Captain Cook got off the jet, he came over and he picked up my son. And we've got the greatest photo. That's one of our prized photos of all time from out here. And we just had the nicest conversation. And Christopher just said, I want to fly that bird. And in 94, Tom Poberesny invited us to go up to Toronto to bring her back. And Bob Collins, who was with WGN, Uncle Bobby was on that flight with us. And so Christopher, he wrote a nice article for Sport Aviation for Kids. And it was a good bit. He's been volunteering out of Theater in the Woods now since he was 17. He's back again this year. He's now 93, I think. No,
not quite.
Not quite.
But he's definitely grown up around this. And Captain Cook, we're talking about, of course, John Cook, who I was explaining to someone earlier today, looked very much like Charlton Heston when he came off the Concorde.
Oh, yeah.
Very distinguished, very British.
Couldn't have a better representative for the British Airways or Concorde. Unfortunately, we lost him in 2005. A gentleman just from top to bottom.
And really, 1985, if you look at the history of the event, 85 was really a turning point for the event where it stopped being almost exclusive for aviation enthusiasts and the general public started to take notice. And you can't not notice that big, sleek Concorde flying over the city.
Well, absolutely. I said that was the year we went international.
Right.
And I say we, you know what I mean by that.
Yes.
But it was just, that's the way it was. We got to talk about the runway. John flew a bird in here, not Concorde, in March, and we had snow.
Right.
And he looked at the runway and he went, oh my. It was 6,001 feet.
Well, it was 6,000 feet at that point.
Yeah, and 1 foot. And he, so he knew that when he brought Concorde in, it was going to have to put it right at the, when he landed, it had to be right on the edge of the runway.
Right.
And then in 87 or 88, they were extended the runway by 2,000. And as Captain John said, that's my cushion.
Yeah. So that is the reason why when you look at the charts or any of the information about Whitman Regional Airport, the long runway is 8,001 feet.
That's right.
It was 6,001, so that because Concorde's minimum was 6,000.
Right.
And so 6,001, and I'm pretty sure someone measured it.
Probably Captain John did. But he was such a gentleman. You just couldn't beat him.
Right. And one of the pieces of footage that is always incredible, even when you look at it years later, is the Concorde in 1985, the very first approach. He touches down, the nose wheel comes down, and they go around with a plane full of passengers.
He did the touch and go. He caught everybody off guard, including those guys that were up in the tower. They had no clue he was going to do that.
Right.
And, well, you heard the crew. Were you here that year?
Yes,
yeah, you
was.
Were.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd just went nuts.
Right.
I mean, this place was just packed with thousands, tens of thousands of people. And I went nuts. I mean, I just went, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then, but the touch and goes ended because of the Paris air crash a few years after that, unfortunately. But that was a good bit. Good bit. We were very fortunate.
He called for reheat, and the afterburners were on.
Yes.
It was amazing. Jerry, what other experiences stand out to you? Are there any people I know. Delmar Benjamin. You told me a story about him.
Oh, Delmar Benjamin flew the GB. And I was supposed to do a story. Well, I wanted to do a story with Delmar. And when I went up to Delmar, talking to a wall would probably get you as much personality. And somehow, when we were chit-chatting, I went, oh, this is going to be a terrible story. And then I got talking to him about how, because I knew the history of the GB, you know, how many people it had killed and so on. And so I talked to him about what it was like to control. And I compared it to girlfriends. He lit up like a stick of dynamite. And I went, that's it. We got him. And great story. Good man.
Yeah.
The other thing that I remember well, Steve, is 1989, right after Glasnost, we had the Antonov 125 here, and the Soviets came in. They had a Soviet flag on one side, an American flag on the other, and the reception they got was fantastic, and they were really fantastic representatives for their country, and they spoke pretty darn good English, too.
Yes. That was an amazing year with the Antonov nose to nose with the C5. It was quite a year, and they all every year seems to have something
special,
unique, and most times it's something that is not planned. It's just something that happens and only happens in a place like Oshkosh.
And this year it's the rain.
We're done with that.
I hope so.
Sunny and bright for the rest of the week.
Amen.
All right, and Jerry Burke is our guest. Jerry, you and I are going to talk a little more tonight at Theater in the Woods.
Yeah, we are.
With the celebration of 50 fly-ins.
I'm going to get to see some people I haven't seen in several years. It's going to be a family reunion.
Exactly.
What the heck? I'm looking so forward to this.
So
Vern and some other people, just a good bit.
Good. That is at 8:30 tonight. But right now, Jerry Burke is our guest. Thank you for being with us, Jerry. I'm Steve Buss, and this is From the Stand on EIA Radio.